You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
From Vineyard Theater in New York City, this is Theater Uncorked, where Vineyard artists come together to talk about the process of bringing new works to the stage. I'm your host, Eric Pargotch. For episode 4, we welcome two-time Pulitzer Prize finalist Gina Gianfrido in conversation with director Peter Dubois. The New York premiere of Can You Forgive Her is Gina's second play here at the Vineyard. Her last play to be produced here was After Ashley with Anna Paquin and Kieran Culkin. She was named a Pulitzer Prize finalist twice, once for her play Becky Shaw and then again for Rapture Blister Burn. Her play U.S. Drag has been produced twice in New York City. Gina has received multiple other awards and recognitions, including an Obie Award, a Guggenheim Fellowship, the Susan Smith Blackburn Prize, an Outer Critics Circle Award, the Helen Merrill Award for Emerging Playwrights, and an American Theater Critics Association Steinberg Citation. She has written for many television dramas, including Law & Order, Cold Case, and House of Cards. Gina is joined by Peter Dubois, the director of the Vineyard's production of Can You Forgive Her, and the artistic director of the Huntington Theater Company in Boston, which won the 2013 Regional Theater Tony Award. His directing credits there include Sunday in the Park with George, A Little Night Music, and the world premieres of Can You Forgive Her and Stephen Karam's Sons of the Prophet, which he went on to direct at the Roundabout here in New York City. The play was later named a Pulitzer Prize finalist. His West End and London credits include All New People, Sex with Strangers, and two of Gina's plays, Becky Shaw and Rapture Blister Burn, which he also directed in New York. Other New York credits include Modern Terrorism, Lips Together, Teeth Apart, and Richard III with Peter Dinklage, and Jack Goes Boating with Philip Seymour Hoffman. We are excited the two could join us to discuss their long history of working together and this production of Can You Forgive Her, which they refer to as this play throughout the podcast since we caught them during previews. This is Gina Gianfrido and Peter Dubois in Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard.
All right. Are you texting your sitter?
Yeah.
So, should I start? Yeah, sure. So, Gina and I met in graduate school at Brown. And I guess that would have been 1990.
It was around because you directed my thesis in the spring of 97.
Right. Okay.
So I think we met around 95, 96.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, the project that Gina's referring to is her play U.S. Drag. That was the final thesis project, right? So, it was great. It was in this small black box and there was, a character in it that got, mugged. And as a result of a mugging, she was missing an eyeball or had a terrible eye, injury and, a cast and, all of this kind of damage that had been done to her. And I thought it was extremely funny. And so I think there was this kind of common shared darkness that we felt, you know, kindred spirits kind of thing. And the more extreme that actress kind of leaned into the pain and horror of her experience of the mugging, the funnier and funnier it became. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that dynamic between really strong, dramatic writing and something very darkly comic happening formed.
Yes, and I was a student of, that was Paula Vogel's program at Brown, and I think the people who like dark comedy are really drawn to Paula. I know I was, and I think Peter as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think the Baltimore Waltz was had a big effect
yes,
on me.
That was the play that drew me to Paula and drew me to Brown.
Yeah, yeah, and I would say the same thing, funnily enough, that it was Baltimore Waltz that really made me want to be at Brown and study with Paula, and just the darkness and the absurdity of the notion that people could be out there catching AIDS from toilet seats. I just thought was the most amazingly precise kind of comic point of view on our historical moment.
Well, my memory is that it was the one comic AIDS play.
Yeah.
And I remember Paula saying that, you know, that the play did have, you know, every once in a while somebody walking out or somebody who was terribly offended. But it really was a play that made a big impact on me just because the comedy was so jarring and arresting.
Yeah.
And it took a different point of view on the AIDS crisis than any other play I'd seen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think really going into it, I feel, and of course we're here at the Vineyard where I first saw Baltimore, where I first saw How I Learned to Drive, mm-hmm. Where of course Nikki Silver also has a home. And I feel like Nikki, at least for me as a director, he's had a huge impact on me. I remember directing Fat Men in Skirts in Prague in 1993. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's these writers like Chris Durang and Nikki and Paula that I feel like I've learned a lot of my stagecraft from, and I feel I bring, that's part of what I may, you know, bring to the table, I think, in our relationship.
Yeah, I think Peter and I had some of the same idols. You know, Nikki Silver's play Pterodactyls was really important to me, and all of Chris Durang's work as well.
Yeah.
And Paula.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also, I think we share a love of sort of things English, and specifically, I think 19th century English literature is something that mm-hmm. has had an impact on both of us, and how strangely dark it is mm-hmm. without being particularly self-aware of its own darkness.
I think the next play we did together, we did Becky Shaw in Louisville for the
exactly.
Humana Festival.
Exactly. And that was the Humana production, I think, was 10 years ago, potentially.
I think it's a little more.
Is it 11?
I think it might be
now?
A little more. Okay. Yeah.
Because we're coming up soon on the 10th. Anniversary of the New York premiere, which mm-hmm. was probably a year and a half after Louisville.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both in Becky Shaw and Rapture and in this play, there's a very strong mother figure at the center of the story. And in Becky, mom, while she has MS, is very capable and has a lover who's in his 30s and is incredibly capable with the sharpness of the advice that she gives. And in Rapture, the mom is someone who's a bit more frail and perhaps a bit kinder and gentler about how she approaches the world. But the character is dealing with a similar issue as the central character in this play, and Can You Forgive Her, which is the imminent loss of she was working with the, or she was challenged by the imminent loss of her mother, but in this play, his mom has already passed away, and she's really represented by these boxes of writing. So it's kind of amazing to go from a mother figure who's alive and at the center of this character's life to one who has died and now left this character with a huge hole to fill.
We had a great time doing it in Louisville.
We did. We'd like finish rehearsal, do you remember? And we get steaks and whiskeys
yes.
after each rehearsal. So we basically spent our fee at that weird mall that's covered with glass.
Right.
In that steakhouse. And then I was running a theater in Alaska after that while Gina was starting to work on Law and Order. Mm-hmm. Is that right? In Providence?
Yeah. Right after I moved back here. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were separated. And then it was really Becky that brought us back together. And Gina sent me the script. And I remember just dying with how not only how funny I found it, but how much I wanted to just be in a room all night with these characters. Like, that was really kind of amazing. So we did a reading of it in New York, and then it was Mark Masterson selected it for the Humana Festival. And then we just had kind of this incredible experience down there, you know, putting the play together. I remember going into previews, and Gina cut a scene that was like right at the end of the play. And they, you know, we had that moment with two of our actors where, you know, it's a scene they loved, but we didn't need the scene. So they were awesome about it, I remember. It's also where I feel like I learned a lot about certain rules of comedy. And I feel like with Gina's plays, especially, and with any play that's a comedy that's got real power to it, the drama has to get directed before the comedy does. So the stakes of the drama have to be there. And I remember the artistic director, when we were doing Becky, saying, "Oh my God, it was funnier at the read-through than it is now." And I was like, no, it'll be funny again. And I was just kind of hoping it would be. And then, of course, the minute the actors get in front of the audience and turn the performance out, the comedy returns. But it's really where I learned that if you don't give it a substructure that has stakes and people wanting something, and like, that's where a lot of the comedy comes from. But then they have to live inside the top of the comedy. You know, they have to get out of the basement of the drama and move up and start focusing on the technical skill of the comedy. But
I think what we learned is you do have to spend some time in that basement.
Yeah.
That the characters have to, and Becky Shaw at least, the characters have to go to their darker places to, you know, Andrew's kind of perverse interest in women in extremity and women in jeopardy, to, you know, Becky's, you know, deep masochism and manipulativeness. We had to kind of go explore all of that to get to the, you know, the comedy can come later once the actors have found the dark places in the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've got to touch the dark places before they can find the comedy in the dark places.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
I find when we go into rehearsal with the rehearsal draft, it's really solid. Mm-hmm. And that when there's changes that Gina makes in response to what's happening in the room, that those changes are like minor but significant, if that makes sense. That they're real changes. But they're always with purpose and significance. And even the editing process is very much about, okay, the structure of the scenes may become lean, but there can be a point when if you pull out one thread too many, the whole thing just falls apart. And I think that's part of the process, is figuring out which threads have to be there and what we can let go of. And sometimes things are providing texture that become really important, and we realize, oh my God, that's missing, and that's part of keeping an energy in the room.
Once we get into the preview process, I don't want there to be any big changes. I'm not the kind of writer who likes to rewrite during previews or introducing new scenes. This is the second production of this play. It's a great blessing to get another shot, because there's information you only gain from having the play in front of an audience.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have you have all this information you get in the production that then what do you do with it unless there's another right. production to apply it to?
Right. I think that's absolutely true. And I think that just given the time pressures that are placed on productions to begin with, that having a second production is absolutely, as you say, a blessing because you learn so much from that first time around. And it's just so great to be able to apply the lessons learned to this production. It's always wild, too, how you watch the news parallel your rehearsal process and,
right.
you know, how dark things are, you know, in the news, and not just politically, but all kinds of weird stuff has been happening in the world, you know, and so a lot of, you know, just strange criminal activity happening while we're rehearsing the right. play.
I think, though, with this play, I think that, you know, you have a main character who you don't have to dig too deeply to get to her dark material.
Yeah.
She's got it. She's got it on the surface, and she's not afraid to bring it out. Yeah.
It's at the ready.
It's at the ready. When you look at the body of work that the Vineyard has done, the plays tend to appeal to me because I find the Vineyard is not terribly hung up or interested in whether or not the characters are liked by the audience.
Totally.
And endorsed by the audience. I just, you know, I love the, having just seen Kid Victory, the incredible gray areas of what that relationship was. Obviously, it was a very destructive one, ultimately, but, you know, like How I Learned to Drive, you know, you have the sexual abuser is not a completely evil character. Yeah. And, you know, the protagonist of Pterodactyls can be kind of a jerk. You know, it's, you don't yeah. have to, you don't, I have felt the pressure in other theaters to make sure the audience connects, make sure the audience cares for the characters, and they're not, I don't think the audience always needs to care for the characters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. And I think often if you let go of the pressure to make the audience care about the characters, they actually wind up caring about the characters.
Right.
They're not, you know, I mean, had Gina ever taken any of the bite off of the character of Max and Becky, it takes away the fun of the evening, you know, and you know, even though that note would come up about Max being likable, it was like, trust me, people are going to love going along on that ride with him.
Well, that was our big shock in Louisville. Now that,
yeah.
now that you mention it, was we kept thinking, oh, you know, he's too mean. He's too mean. The audience is not going to like him. He's too mean. And then I remember turning to Peter when we watched the play with an audience for the first time, and the audience was hanging on his every word. And I turned to Peter and I said, they're going to be really upset when he doesn't get the girl.
Yeah.
And indeed, that was the last thing we'd ever expected, but it was how it panned out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful to work here. You know, it. I feel very supported, but not micromanaged. I feel like, you know, the Vineyard hired a director and they put their trust in him, and there's not a lot of hovering and second guessing, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to work without feeling like you're under supervision or you have someone listening at the door to make sure you're working hard enough. So it's a wonderful place to work.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel, right before we were recording this, we were out talking with Doug, and he said, do you want me to watch the run-through tonight or tomorrow, you know? And just that the fact that he's so understanding of the actor's process and the tech process and everything, you know, and the fact that you have a producer asking which run-through makes the most sense to go to, like, that's just really refreshing. And we have actors who have, you know, everyone has a personal life, and time is money in the theater, but it's really refreshing to be somewhere where, you know, that isn't necessarily privileged. time, you know, the costs of dealing with the fact that someone might have a newborn or someone might have an audition or people have lives. And there's a real awareness here, I feel like, that people have lives and there's a real kind of humanity to how Doug and Sarah approach the work as leaders of the theater. So by kind of taking care of the company and focusing on what they think is the best thing for the show, at the same time, they're really creating, I think, a very human environment to work in. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Well, that's it for Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard. Theater Uncorked is produced and edited by me, Eric Pargotch, Vineyard Theater's Director of Communications and New Media, with help from the Vineyard's Associate Producer, Ali Sky Bennett, and Marketing Director, Melissa Pelkey. Thanks to the Vineyard's Artistic Directors, Douglas Abel and Sarah Stern, and our Managing Director, Suzanne Appel, along with the entire Vineyard staff. If you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor and rate and review us on iTunes. It helps spread the word. And last but not least, thanks to you for listening to Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.